And finally, Sinon adds that the horse is an offering to the goddess Pallas, also known as Minerva, Athena in Greek terminology, to recompense her for a statue of hers that the Greeks had stolen from Troy. Sinon says that the horse was made so large to ensure that the Trojans could not take it inside the city because, he says, the Greeks have been told by their prophets that if the horse is taken inside the city, Troy will never fall. So Sinon sets up the idea that the Greeks have gone but will return, that the horse was left to propitiate Minerva, but that if the Trojans take the horse inside the city, their city will be safe. Now, Sinon's lies persuade the Trojans. He is an extremely fluent and effective liar. And the Trojans believe him. They believe Sinon because they themselves are honest. And they pity him because they themselves are compassionate. Priam tells him not to be afraid, that he will be treated as a Trojan, that he will be taken in and become one of the Trojans, but that the Trojans want to hear his entire story. Priam says this is at a point where Sinon pauses and pretends to be worried about what the Trojans may do to him. So the Trojans are betrayed. Their downfall is caused by their own good qualities. And think back at this point to what I said in an earlier lecture about the Roman view of the Greeks, how the Greeks are seen as perhaps untrustworthy. One aspect of that untrustworthiness is that the Greeks are seen as being too good at rhetoric, too persuasive at speaking, too fluent in their words. Sinon here is almost the epitome of what Romans fear about Greeks, that they can be so plausible. And the Trojans here are almost the epitome of how the Romans like to see themselves, simple, decent, compassionate, and therefore, unfortunately, in this case, easily deceived. The Trojans are further motivated to believe Sinon by the fate of Laocoon. Laocoon, who said that he feared the Greeks even when bearing gifts. He is killed together with his two sons by two enormous snakes that swim out of the sea, enfold Laocoon and his young sons in their coils and crush the life out of them. The snakes then glide away into the temple of Minerva. Now, this is clearly an omen sent by the gods, but as is so often the case in ancient literature, interpreting an omen is a very tricky business. The Trojans take this to mean that the gods are angered at Laocoon, doubting Sinon and doubting the goodness of the horse. We, the readers, looking at it from the outside, can see this as yet another indication of Troy's fate. The gods send these serpents to kill Laocoon to keep the Trojans from rejecting the horse, not because the horse really is an offering to the gods, but because Troy is fated to fall. So the snakes killing Laocoon and his sons are definitely an omen, but the Trojans misinterpret the meaning of that omen. The Trojans not only take the horse into the city, they break down a portion of their wall around their gates in order to get the horse into the city, thereby, of course, making the Greeks' task at night even easier. Once night has fallen, the Greeks who are in the horse come out of the horse. The other Greeks sail back from Tenedos. They pour into Troy through the broken gate and through the other gates that the comrades who had been in the horse opened for them, and the Greeks begin the sack of Troy by nightfall. Aeneas is asleep, and he tells us, remember, all of this is being narrated in Aeneas' first-person voice to Dido. Aeneas tells Dido, and tells us, that the ghost of Hector, his cousin and the greatest Trojan warrior, had appeared to him in a dream and told him that Troy's end had come, that there was no point in further fighting. This is it. Troy has fallen. Hector advises Aeneas to flee, to take his family and the household gods of Troy, or the Penates, with him and to flee. Now, the Penates are a Roman concept, the household gods, the gods to whom one built a shrine in one's household and of whom one had images in one's household, are a Roman concept. But Virgil here backreads them, so to speak, into Trojan history to establish that Aeneas really is the ancestor of the Romans. Virgil has Aeneas bringing household gods, Penates, from Troy with him. And remember in the opening lines of poem that I read to you in the last lecture, Virgil says that Aeneas brought his gods into Italy. These are the gods he's talking about. Aeneas, after this vision of Hector, rushes onto his roof, sees that the Greeks have set the city on fire, that Troy is burning. He snatches up his weapons and runs out into the streets where several young Trojan men join him. They fight valiantly, but they're completely outnumbered. They can't accomplish anything by fighting at this point.